streaming from beautiful Portland, Oregon, for all things fantasy football. This is the Tutty Talk Podcast.
Barkley with a burst! Barkley down the sideline! Saquon Barkley!
Jackson himself looking and turned back and forth. Oh! He broke his ankles!
He did what? It's a C-Mac attack!
I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
A lot of people ain't gonna be able to take that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And over and over and over and over and over again.
You like that?
Here are your hosts, Bryce Wells.
I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna put you on blast.
Kevin Nelson.
It's a damn shame because Pete Carroll is wasting Russell Wilson, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And Chase Daskalos.
No! Lamar Jackson is gonna be a top five quarterback.
Welcome everybody back to the Tutty Talk Podcast, and thank you for coming back because that means we're doing something right. Make sure to go check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Tutty Talked. Get involved and help add to the fantasy football community. On today's show, we're going to discuss quarterback needy teams, relevant rookie quarterbacks entering the 2020 draft, and likely landing spots for these players. This is where things get fun and interesting, baby. Wouldn't you agree, fellas? Kevin?
Yeah, the draft's coming up quicker than we think. April 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th. Vegas, baby. We'll be there. But a lot of rookie talk coming up today. We'll revisit it a ton throughout this offseason. Free agency, of course, first. But we wanted to get this rookie stuff out of the way first. That way we can come back to it and continue to talk about it for the rest of this offseason.
Chase?
This might sound weird. I don't know about you guys, but I really like listening back to the podcast that we like from the week before just to kind of see how everything sounds. You know, I know you guys have a radio background, but I'm kind of new to the whole thing. So I like to listen to kind of hear how I sound and what I can improve on. And I kind of noticed that I sounded a little reserved. And, you know, I like to cuss. I cuss a lot and I'm not proud of it. But at the end of the day, it's just letters put together to make a word to help you express yourself. So I realized I was sounding a little reserved. And so I decided I'm going to let it fucking rip today.
We talk about it sometimes. You know, it's not the meaning behind the word. It's how the word sounds when it fucking comes out of your mouth. And it's funny. And we laugh because they don't mean anything. Okay? Don't get your feelings hurt, everybody. We know this is an explicit podcast, but that's what makes it that much better. Another thing we were talking about last night, I was telling the guys, I absolutely hate this time of year. Because we're at this weird point with the combine in the distance, starting on Sunday, February 23rd, ending on March the 2nd. And because I'm a fantasy degenerate, I'm literally counting down the days, checking my sources every day for literally any shred of new rookie information or NFL news. It's a problem. Every year, we've got about five quarterbacks that enter the draft. It's more than five, but five that are relevant.
That matter.
Yeah. That people recognize the name, go, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
And every year there are maybe one or two that actually last. Look at fucking Gardner Minshew. Look at Dak Prescott. Sometimes there's this diamond in the rough, and those types of players are guys that no one really pays that much attention to. And they deserve to be brought up on everybody's show, especially this show. Is it way too early to tell with some of these guys we got on our sheet tonight? Absolutely. But hopefully we can cool down that rookie fever you've all been dealing with the past few months. Let's go ahead and break into it. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeehaw.
Joe Burrow, rags to riches. He was at Ohio State to begin his college football career. He ended it as a national champion at LSU. 6'4", 216 pounds. He's 23 years old. 15-game season. Ended with that natty. 402 completions on 527 attempts. 5,671 yards. That's over 10 yards an attempt. 60 touchdowns through the air, 6 INTs, a 202 quarterback rating. Good God. He won the Heisman Trophy. And on the ground, 115 attempts, 368 rushing yards, 3.2 yards per carry, and 5 rushing touchdowns. 65 total touchdowns for the Heisman winner. Yeah, he's going to go number one, I think.
I think that sounds like a first-round talent. What's even weirder is this Mel Kiper comp, and yeah. I definitely don't agree with it, but he's comping him to Tony Romo, has this similar skill set. NFL's comping him to Kurt Warner. That's a lot better. I think that one's way more fitting. We were talking a little bit before we came on. Most likely he's locked into land in Cincinnati, but it kind of seems like Chase asked me, will he pull an Eli Manning? Because Cincinnati's obviously not the most desirable landing spot. The real question that I'm going to pass to Chase here, did the rest of his team make him look better than he actually is? I mean, you've got guys like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Thaddeus Moss, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You've got this amazing squad, and it's been labeled as one of the possibly best offenses in all of college football history. Chase, do you agree, disagree with that? Where are you at on that?
So I was going to play devil's advocate here and kind of throw both sides of it. So this is perfect. I'm going to start with 2015, Joe Burrow redshirts at Ohio State. So he redshirts his freshman year. The next year, he played 5 games at Ohio State and then 5 games at Ohio State and then transfers to LSU. So now in 2018, Joe Burrow throws for 2,894 yards, 16 touchdowns, 5 picks, 57.8% completion. Then all of a sudden, something happened because next year, Joe Burrow's completion percentage goes from 57.8% to 76.3%. He jumped by 20% in a year through an offseason. He throws 3,000 more yards, 44 more touchdowns, and only has one more pick. Like, holy shit. So, like, what is going on here? Okay, one, he's throwing to Ja'Marr Chase, who's a sophomore, a 19-year-old, who won the Biletnikoff, the best receiver in the nation. Ja'Marr Chase had 84 catches for 1,780 yards and 20 touchdowns. He's also throwing to Justin Jefferson, who is projected to be a 2020 first-round receiver. And Jefferson had 111 catches, which tied for number one in the nation, college football, for most receptions. And Jefferson had 1,540 yards and 18 touchdowns. And then he has Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield, who is going to be a second or third round pick and could be a big combine riser and jump into the early second round, who also caught 55 balls for 450 yards. So you have all of this talent around him, not to mention, I forgot about the two tight ends that LSU has who are both projected to be top 10 tight end rookies in the class. Not saying they go in the top 10, but just two of the top 10 rookies in the class in Thaddeus Moss and Steven Sullivan. So you have this incredible supporting cast, and we've talked about regression. We talked about regression last episode with Aaron Jones scoring, oh my God, Aaron Jones, 19 touchdowns. There's no way he can do that. And everyone's saying, oh, there's no way Lamar Jackson can throw 36 touchdowns next year. You know, regression. Let's kind of take a step back here and apply this to Joe Burrow, who through one season, he threw 60 fucking touchdowns last year. 44 more touchdowns than he did in 2018. Like, if regression can apply to Lamar Jackson and all these guys, like, let's look at this from farther back here and say, holy shit, like, Joe Burrow's good. He's going number one overall. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong here, but, like, he has one season with a good body of work, and it's just the world's on fire.
Honestly, it's kind of weird. Like, I can't remember a player that's ever had that type of a season after a meh, whatever. Like, nobody picked Joe Burrow to win the Heisman, and then he lights the world on fire, like you said, Jace. Like, it's just stupid. But you do look at those surrounding pieces and go, well, he's not going to have that at the next level. He did do this in the SEC, and I think that is a huge, huge deal. Like, you know, we've seen guys in the past that light it up in the ACC or the Pac-12 or whatever, and it's like, okay, yeah, but that's not,
it's not the
NFL
highest level
quality. Yeah. You know, a lot of these guys in the SEC, the majority of them, surprisingly, are going to go play in the National Football League. So, highest level of competition you can have. He's going to go to a team that's loaded with weapons, potentially. You know, Tyler Boyd and John Ross and Joe Mixon and Auden Tate, like, that's going to be a solid offense. If they could keep that offensive line healthy, I like Joe Burrow a lot in Dynasty. He's your number 101 in two quarterback leagues. He's in the first round of your single quarterback leagues just to have another guy you could go to and maybe turn to sooner rather than you think. It's just going to kind of depend on that regression, and he's not throwing 60 touches in the NFL. No quarterback probably ever will. The best one that ever had a chance of that was probably Mahomes with 50. But it'll be interesting to see how it pans out and if he even goes 101, right?
I mean,
is there any way he doesn't?
I watched a video, Adam Schefter. I don't remember what show he was on, but he was talking to this table and was basically saying there is absolutely no way Cincinnati doesn't draft Joe Burrow. So we know that's going to happen. It's just a matter of whether or not Joe Burrow wants to go play for Cincinnati. And I don't think, I honestly, if
he's
you're
from
Joe,
Ohio, right?
Yeah,
it's right, because his family has a history of the Ohio State, right?
Right.
Yeah. So he's gonna go play there. And I think if you're looking at that offense as Joe Burrow, it really just comes out of the offensive line. Like, they've drafted offensive linemen in the two back-to-back years, and they've gotten hurt in both of those years. And it's really just not that far away from being a top 15 offense in the league, given that Joe Burrow pans out, does what he needs to do. But I think you really take a look at what he had on his team. Justin Jefferson's going to be a second or third round wide receiver pick, maybe earlier because he's 19, he's super young. Ja'Marr Chase next year will probably be a top five wide receiver pick in dynasty drafts.
He could go in the top 10 of the NFL draft next year. He's that good.
Yes, absolutely. And I think he's going to be the number one receiver in the 2021 draft. Thaddeus Moss is an absolute animal, son of Randy Moss. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like Chase, you were saying, second or third round pick for a running back. Combine could help out his stock. I mean, you're looking at the situation. If you're Joe Burrow, you can't hate it. I mean, you could go to Miami. You could be in that situation. I don't think you want to go there.
Yeah.
This is not even close to the worst possibility for Joe Burrow. So I think the one question is he the most pro-ready quarterback out of the group that we got? I know we've just started with him. I think the consensus is pretty easily that he is definitely the most pro-ready. So it just I don't see this going any other way besides him going to Cincinnati.
Let's have a hot take as a new podcast and just say he goes in like the end of the first round. He just slides all the way back so that we can go clip it and then we can go viral. We'll be like, yeah, we said this on February 11th that Joe would slide all the way to the Just kidding. He's going 101. All right, next. Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama quarterback, missed half the season with the injury to the hip. Same injury that Bo Jackson suffered, but he's 6'1", 218 pounds. He's 21, going to turn 22 pretty soon. Played 9 games this season, 180 completions on 252 attempts for 2,840 yards, 33 touchdowns, 3 picks, a rating of 206.9. I believe that was the highest this season in college football, at least in Power 5. But it wasn't about this season for Tua. It was about that sophomore season where he played 15 games, 245 completions, 355 attempts at 69% through the air, 3,966 yards as a sophomore, 43 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions with a 199 QBR. He looks like Russ, but lefty. And that weirded some people out in watching film, I think. But
to add on to that real quick, anytime you see anybody do anything left-handed, it looks funky.
Yeah.
The same thing in the NBA. James Harden, his jumper looks weird because he's lefty, but Tua is exactly what you said he is. Russell Wilson, dual threat quarterback. And I think that's exactly what he is. Like, his arm talent is better than Joe Burrow. His running ability is better than Joe Burrow. And I think if you really, really, really want to be bold, you're not going to do it with the 101. But if you have the 102, I'm thinking you're feeling much better about drafting Tua. And now I know there's the injury history behind Tua. However, I think the ceiling is way higher for Tua because obviously we just said dual threat quarterback has a Russell Wilson skill set. He is going to be a really, really good quarterback in the National Football League. And it's all comes down to whether or not Miami can just get the pieces to build around him. And that's if he goes to Miami. I think the consensus is he's probably right. going to go to Miami unless someone trades up to, and takes, you know, Detroit's number three pick and sneaks him in front of Miami, which I definitely think there's a good possibility with that. I mean, you're looking at you got the Chargers at 6, you got Carolina at 7, you know, the Colts are at 13. Tampa Bay's got a questionable quarterback situation. I mean, you got the Raiders who have two picks in the first round at 12 and 19, and you know, there's a good possibility somebody moves up.
Yeah, I mean, the hip is always going to be the concern here. Good news was yesterday he had a CT scan. He had a checkup on the hip, and it showed that it is basically completely healed. He hasn't been cleared for activity yet, but the CT scan showed good news. And Burrow's going to go number one, but Tua's my QB1. He's been good from the moment we saw him, the moment he picked up a football. Joe Burrow had that one. This one incredible year last year where I talked about like his completion percentage jumps by 20% in 1 year. Well, Tua's career stats in Alabama against the SEC defenses are also incredible. I mean, 87 touchdowns to 11 picks. Like I said, he's been doing it every single time he steps onto the field, first time we saw him. So, yes, the hip is the concern. Burrow's going number one, but I want the guy who's been balling out since the day he took the field. Also, I think it's kind of important to realize I am in no way comparing Joe Burrow to Mitch Trubisky, but let's remember in 2017, the Chicago Bears took Mitch Trubisky at 2, and the Kansas City Chiefs took Pat Mahomes at 10. So, I mean, it's just because a guy goes earlier than another guy, and this is obvious, but like just because Trubisky goes at 2 and Mahomes goes at 10, that doesn't say much. They have the draft capital there, but like I want the guy who's been balling out, who's got the career, he's got the body of work, basically mm-hmm. what it comes down to.
Yeah, I was just kind of watching some film before we did the pod today, and there's so many memorable plays and throws that this guy's had over the last two seasons, even with half a season this year, where I think back to Joe Burrow, and yeah, he's had the Heisman moments and where he really extends the play and, you know, rolls out, bangs off a guy. Remember Tua's play against Louisville, I think? It's near the red zone. It's within like 10 yards. It's the most Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson play I can think of, where he drops back and he immediately does that like blind spin. And it's the opposite way, obviously, because he's left-handed. Opposite way, rolls back towards the pocket, steps up, and then off like 1 foot, throws it like Derek Jeter pirouetting through the air to the back right corner where Judy like jukes a guy and you know, mosses somebody for a touchdown as Tua gets blown up. And I just think that he's a guy that is a perfect fit for Miami because they're not going to have this like really well-structured offensive line. And, you know, they maybe don't have all the pieces like maybe Cincinnati does, that they've been really unfortunate with injuries. But if Tua goes to Miami, he can make them, I'm not saying a contender, but he could keep them in games just because of his escapability. And is he going to take a lot of hits? Yeah, sure. Is the hip a concern for everybody and NFL teams drafting him? Of course. But I look at Tua, and similar to Chase, that his talent for me in today's NFL is so much greater than Joe Burrow in what he's able to do under pressure and able to do against an elite pass rush and things like that. Playing in the SEC, another bonus. You know, you just keep going down the list. And then the one thing that's holding him back maybe in a lot of people's mind is an injury. I think a lot of teams will want to take that risk, especially the QB needy ones that are packed into the top end of this draft. So if he goes to Miami, that's really unfortunate. Yeah. But if he goes to a team that wants to trade up for him, that already has all those pieces, look out.
Guess who also was a player people were really concerned about after a pretty serious ACL injury and ended up becoming one of the best quarterbacks in the league? That's Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
a guy who, and then, you know, shortly after tears, you know, another ACL his first year. But I think people buy into the narrative of being really worried about the injuries. The good news is Tua has been able to, this wasn't the end of the season of him having to deal with this. He's gotten to recover. It's clear that it's progressing as good as it possibly can, and that's exactly what you want to hear. So now, given that Tua only played 9 games, had he played 5-6 more games, I think we're having a kind of a way more difficult conversation here about comparing, you know, Tua to Joe Burrows and which guy is worth more. I think it's very, very easy to assume that Tua has the higher ceiling just based on, like we said, multiple years of college of just pure dominance. So I agree with Chase on this. I think Tua is my 101 at quarterback, but we all know who's going there. So I think we can go ahead and move on.
Yeah, I just stick with Burrow. He won the Heisman. He won the national championship. He's at the front of all of our minds right now.
Yeah.
Tua missed half the season. We really forgot about him. And when you go back and watch the film or you go back and watch last year, you just, holy shit, he's playing at another level too. So I think they're both really great, but we'll see.
I actually almost forgot. Chase, you being a Raiders fan, I just have to know, do you think that there's any possibility that the Raiders trade, you know, pick 19, pick 12, maybe tack on a couple thirds? I'm not an NFL GM. I don't know exactly how similar, you know, trading draft picks in the NFL is to fantasy football, but do you think that, you know, they'll try to move up to pick 3 with Detroit and trade up to try to get Tua?
Unfortunately, I don't. I think if they were one piece away and it was a glaring need at quarterback, and they really wanted to make a push to get Tua, they have the 12th pick and the 19th pick, which definitely could be enough to move up and get into position to get Tua. But they have too many holes, I think, that they need to fill. They don't have the depth. They really need receiver. They really need linebacker. They need cornerback. So I don't see Gruden and Mayock being that aggressive to trade up for a quarterback. Plus last year, all they did really, they took Farrell, which I wish they would have traded out of that spot. But anyways, other than that, all they did was trade back and just accumulate more and more draft picks. And I see this similar approach. I don't want them to trade out of the 12th and or the 19th. I like the guys that they could get there. But I just don't see him being that aggressive.
Moving on, next quarterback on the list. Hometown kid, Justin Herbert, 6'6", 237 pounds. He's 21, almost 22, from the University of Oregon. 4-year player there. Didn't get the keys to the car as a starter until really junior season. Played 8 games at quarterback as a freshman and a sophomore junior season, 13 games. But this past season, 14 games, led him to the Rose Bowl title. 286 completions on 428 attempts, 3,471 yards, 32 touchdowns to just 6 picks with a 156 QBR. But really what stands out to me in looking at the numbers is how much he improved his accuracy from the year before, just 59.4% as a junior with 3,100 yards, 29 touchdowns, 8 picks in that season as well. But then the 66% this year. Dominated at times. I'm thinking of the game against Washington where he legitimately couldn't miss. Then showed off the legs in the Rose Bowl and showed a totally different side of him. We knew that he could run, and the guys after the game were saying, shit, why wasn't he doing that all season? We're telling him, put his head down and just go through, guys, and he did against a Wisconsin defense that was really good all season. So I think Herbert, as the season progressed, only continued to improve his stock, even though he fell out of that Heisman race. That pro-caliber player really started to show. He's a guy that can improve his score once we get to the combine even more and really get on the radar of some teams. And, you know, if you're an Oregon fan, obviously you're a Justin Herbert fan. Where do you want to see him go, Bryce?
Well, I've convinced myself that this man is going to end up as a Carolina Panther.
Ooh.
Now, I think our mock draft, we originally had him going to the Chargers.
Right.
And I think that is the safe pick. I think that we are going to see something wild in the NFL draft. We know that this new coach for the Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, Baylor. He has a young offense in his hands. This guy at Baylor predominantly ran an offense in the shotgun formation. So this is a perfect fit offensively for them. And I don't think that this team wants to go out and somewhat start over with an older quarterback or a veteran quarterback. This team feels young. It feels fresh. It feels like they want to get one of these three rookie quarterbacks. And I personally, I don't think a whole lot of the other options at quarterback could fit this offense well. And I think Herbert could be dialed in with this team. I mean, with Curtis Samuel, with DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, Ian Thomas now, this team is so stacked and young that why not just go ahead and let's do a fresh start without, you know, Ron Rivera there. One thing that I am nervous about with Herbert, and just having watched plenty of Duck games, being an alum and everything, is that there are lapses of judgment with Herbert. There are moments where he makes incredible decisions and makes an incredible throw, and then there are moments where he throws a ball and you're like, what the fuck are you doing, man? What are you looking at? And that's really the only issue I have with Justin Herbert. He balled out at the Senior Bowl. A lot of the players loved Justin Herbert at the Senior Bowl, loved playing with him. He won
MVP.
Yeah, he was MVP of that. And I just think Carolina is really going to want to get involved with Herbert. And one other thing about that Oregon Duck offense is, and most people aren't going to know, especially if they haven't watched the Ducks play. They got rid of their offensive coordinator Arroyo, who absolutely limited what this offense was able to do. It's very boring, very stagnant. There's a reason why they moved on from him after this year. And he's a big reason why I think Justin Herbert didn't reach his fullest potential in college. Did he develop from his junior to senior year? Yes, absolutely. And I think there's still plenty more room for him to grow as a quarterback. And I think Matt Rhule is a perfect fit for that. So my bold prediction is that the Carolina Panthers are going to draft Justin Herbert this year and find their way. And I think the Chargers are actually going to be the team that settles with a veteran quarterback.
You talked about sort of seeing lapse of judgment in Herbert, and the comp that I sort of like for Justin Herbert is Josh Allen, and that lapse of judgment there really kind of solidifies that. It plays into that. And I mean, you interpret that how you want. Like, I like Josh Allen. I like him as a fantasy quarterback, but he's definitely a guy that the fantasy community is split on. And I think right now and after the draft, that same narrative will be there with Herbert as well. So, you know, I didn't love Herbert, but when I looked at his stats, and Kevin, you mentioned this, the thing that stuck out to me is his improvement from year to year, especially with the completion percentage. And that, you know, watching him initially, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if he can make the throws, but seeing his percentage go up and up and up and up and being able to improve like that and have it not be something like we saw with Joe Burrow where it jumped up 20% randomly. Those steady increments there are something that's important to me. And, you know, I like Justin Herbert, but I think he needs to go to a good landing spot for me to, if I'm going to take him in any fantasy rookie drafts or anything like that. And I mean, Carolina, that would be amazing.
I was going to say, how do you like him in Carolina?
Yeah. I mean, that'd be number one.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Ian Thomas. So like, oh my God.
Immediate right. Production. From a fantasy perspective, another thing that I forgot to mention, a lot of the Ducks receivers were injured at like the first half of this year. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of factors that played into the final stats that Justin Herbert ended up with, and he still did pretty good. I think he's more like Matt Stafford. I think the combine is really going to juice Herbert up. I think people are going to see him rip it. It's going to be like Josh Allen at the combine throwing a fucking 70-yard bomb and be like, oh my God, dude, holy shit, this guy can throw the ball over the mountains. It's going to be the same thing, and he's going to be more accurate doing it because he's better, a better thrower than Josh Allen. it's just going to come down to that landing spot. I think you're 100% right. I think the Chargers would be fine, but the Panthers is ideal.
I think with Matt Rhule, too, that's such a safe investment for you, too, to preserve your job. I know they gave him some egregious contract, like similar to Gruden's, where you just go, oh, my God, he got what? But that saves your job for 4 years. Like, that you just, boom, you got it. If you get a veteran quarterback and things don't work and what, and you're constantly changing who's the QB or whatever, you can point the finger and say, hey, the kid's 22 years old. Give me a fucking break.
Exactly.
Like, let's get this offense rolling and going and let him build his resume. And, like, look at Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was, like, almost on his way out. 7-9, 7-9, like, shit. Russell Wilson pops up. Haven't had a losing season since. Like, saved his whole coaching career, really. And the NFL in the latter half, obviously his career at USC. But you get what I'm saying. Like, if you're a rookie head coach, go get a rookie quarterback. Just pair up, and there you go. If it's Herbert, great.
Great point.
If it's any of these other guys, shit. Carolina sounds great with any rookie right now, given their quarterback situation. But we could talk Herbert all day, and we'll talk about him more this year. But let's keep it rolling. Jordan Love, a guy that not many of us, including us, know much about. We don't really watch a whole lot of Mountain West football, not going to lie. From Utah State, big kid, 6'4", 225 pounds. He's 21 years old. Some numbers for him. He's coming out as a junior. In 2019, he played 13 games where he completed 293 passes on 473 attempts, 3,402 yards. 20 touchdowns to 17 picks and a QBR of 129.1, but it's his sophomore season that has everybody oohing and aahing. 3,500 yards on 64% through the air, 32 touchdowns to just 6 picks, and a QBR of 158.3. I think what immediately jumps off the page is the size, and we've kind of got him comped to Blake Bortles, but it's this kind of touch that he has on the ball. It's a little bit different, a little spicier than I think other guys have. He throws on the run. He kind of likes to extend the play as well. I think if he played in the SEC or one of these bigger schools, he would be much higher on everybody's draft board than he is. But he's kind of sneaking his way along now that because he played at Utah State, all of a sudden people are starting to go, oh, YouTube, who's Jordan Love? And going, oh, okay, this guy's pretty good. So he's got this weird touch as I'm seeing. I'm actually watching him right now, watching some final bits on him to kind of refresh my memory on him. But again, played in the Mountain West, played at Utah State. Does that bring his value down? Yes, in comparison to the other SEC guys, even Herbert in the Pac-12. But if he goes to a team and is another project guy, if he goes to Carolina or Indianapolis or something like that, Jordan Love could be one of those guys that is a middle of the road guy that has potential to be really good and came out of nowhere.
So I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it.
Oh, no.
And
you can't.
I watched a lot of Jordan Love, and the really bold player comp for Jordan Love is Patrick Mahomes.
Fuck out of here.
And I see it.
No.
I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. Jordan Love will probably never throw 50 touchdowns in an NFL season. But in watching him, he looked really, really, really smooth throwing on the run, mm-hmm. just like Patrick Mahomes.
I bet he does in that Mountain West Conference.
I know. I'll get into that. He can absolutely uncork it. And he stands really well in the pocket, and he looks fearless. And those are really the things that stood out to me. His numbers for playing in that conference are not what they should be. I mean, his career at Utah State, he threw 29 picks to 60 touchdowns. And a career completion percentage of 60.2%. So too many picks, too many incompletions. But, I mean, Mahomes' career completion percentage was 63.5%, which if you told me that after watching him play in the NFL, I would say there's no way that he threw 63% completion at Texas Tech. So the completion percentage comparison there is it's pretty interesting. But, I mean, Mahomes, kind of weird thing too, is Mahomes threw 29 picks in his career, just like Jordan Love did. Mahomes threw 93 touchdowns, and Jordan Love threw 60. So, people are worried about how playing at Utah State will translate to the NFL, and obviously throwing 29 picks, that is a red flag. But I think it's important that I think watch out if he goes to a team where he can sit for a year, just like Patrick Mahomes did, and then he gets unleashed in 2021, where he can learn behind a quarterback. Kind of the dream scenario I have here is Tom Brady goes to Las Vegas and the Raiders spend the 19th overall pick on Jordan Love. He sits for a year. He's John Gruden's new toy. Learns behind Tom Brady or even Derek Carr. And then he's just unleashed in 2021, much like sort of the career path, how Patrick Mahomes started.
I am going to strongly disagree. I think that Jordan Love has been, Kevin was right about this. He's kind of been sneaking around. He's like a guy that gets more and more love.
Hey.
As we get closer to the combine and the draft.
Ooh.
And you start
Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, right. You start to see a little bit more people talk about him having round one potential. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think if Patrick Mahomes was a first round pick and sat that first year, this guy is probably at best going to be a second or third round talent. I think, does he have crazy arm strength and athleticism? Sure. Yeah, that is definitely the case. After the 2020 Senior Bowl, not only, like we just said, Justin Herbert was balling out in that. People were saying Jordan Love looked like a first rounder after that whole thing. And we're eventually going to get into another guy who looked pretty good. But, you know, I need to watch a little more film on Jordan Love to get sold. He back to the Senior Bowl. He had three solid practices leading up to that and was voted North Squad's Offensive Player of the Week at the quarterback position. So there's something people like about this guy, and maybe it's the typical quarterbacks, you know, the size of 6'4", 225, him only being 21 years old is pretty good. Some of the cons that people were claiming he had, he struggled making reads, too much staring down receivers and telegraphing, but he can throw in tight windows. So the high risk, high reward play is always something that NFL teams love, especially when you've got the prototypical size that most teams are looking for at quarterback. Jordan Love, not on my list, but, you know, depends on where his landing spot is, as that's going to be the same case for most of these guys. Especially when you tack on the draft capital as well. I think this is one of those guys that we'll talk about, but we're going to forget about after next season, maybe a couple seasons down the road.
We're rolling down to Georgia. Jake Fromm, 6'2", 210 pounds. He's 24 years old. This past season as a junior, 14 games, 234 completions on 385 attempts, 2,860 yards, 24 touchdowns to just 5 picks, and a QBR of 141.2. Actually, the worst QBR of his collegiate career. Looking back at some past years, his freshman season really blew up onto the scene. 15 games, over 2,600 yards, and they've run more of a pro-style offense. They got a lot of playmakers there, and did his first two seasons there at Georgia, really leaving him with just Swift in the backfield last year. But 24 touchdowns as a freshman and 30 as a sophomore. Never threw more than 7 picks in any season, and really is complimented for his leadership. How he runs a locker room is going to stand out, I think, as his most important quality. While that may not be a numbers-driven thing or something that matters as much in fantasy football, it does matter at the combine and is going to help his draft stock a lot. I think a team that really needs that type of guy in the locker room, and maybe he's a Chase Daniel. Maybe he's a journeyman backup quarterback his whole career. Maybe the arm strength isn't a factor, and these red flags that we have about Jake Fromm are nothing, and he's actually one of the premier quarterbacks in the league. I think he's got one of the highest ceilings, oddly enough. You know, he's played in some really big moments and some really big games in the SEC against great competition. His numbers don't jump off the page and go, oh, wow, Jake Fromm's really good. But I don't see him as a game manager either. I think he's just like a right place, right time guy. If he goes to a team that needs that and he wins a job, I think he could be really good. If he goes to somewhere that is, he's never going to be that starting quarterback, he slides to the third or fourth round, yeah, he's fucked. But Jake Fromm, I remember watching him when he was a freshman, QB1. He was on that show on Netflix. If you haven't watched that, go back and watch that, because in high school, he's just an absolute baller and could take over games. But I think what's weird about him, and I'll shut up after this, is at 6'2", 220 pounds, you know, that's a decent-sized guy. Like, you can make it in the NFL, no doubt, in this day and age. But he seems way smaller than that. He looks smaller on the field, and the way he plays kind of doesn't have the ability to release and run outside the pocket, really break away and be that type of a player. Really relies on his offensive line and being a more true pocket passer. So it's all situation-based, of course. But Jake Fromm, I'm higher on him than most, I think.
So just a couple of things to add on to that. So I don't know the full context of the Georgia situation this year. As we all know, we're Pac-12 guys. We watch a lot of Pac-12 football.
They lost a lot of talent, I'll say that.
Yeah, and so that kind of, especially, you know, when you look at his 2018 stats compared to his 2019 stats, it's a huge, huge difference. And I don't think it's because he got worse. I think that there's obviously, it's kind of like Herbert in a sense. Like, there's other reasons that we can't, if you don't watch a lot of, you're not going to know. And I think Fromm is the type of guy that could end up being a huge, huge value pick for any NFL team that decides to draft him. Kevin was talking about how he's a stud in high school. He was a five-star athlete, a top 50 overall recruit. So this guy is no joke. I know the Debbie Grinders out there probably love Jake Fromm. He's got a Jared Goff comp, but I think this is where the Tony Romo comp fits a little bit better for this type of guy. Kevin said high ceiling, definitely high ceiling. I think that probably a pretty good floor too, especially if he's making smart plays. I think one of the pros that people have about Jake Fromm is that he's a good leader with football intelligence for chess match types of games. So Jake Fromm could end up being the type of guy that the coaches love, players love, especially if he's a great leader. And those are some of the intangible qualities that he has. It just kind of depends, once again, landing spot, draft capital, probably more of a round two talent to me.
I think he falls farther than that, depending on the combine and stuff like that. But everybody hates Jake Fromm, and I just want to put it on the record that I don't hate Jake Fromm, and I think he's going to be actually okay in the NFL. Like, is he going to be around forever? No. But I'm not writing him off as, like, this instant backup, like, oh, Jake Fromm sucked in college, so he's been good forever. Like, why wouldn't he go somewhere and grind it out and maybe win a job over one of these older quarterbacks that get signed on a one-year deal and they also draft Jake Fromm and they're like, oh, well, we'll see what happens. And Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson situation, and see you the fuck later. That's Jake Fromm's job. All right, we could skip on over to the next guy.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts. Jalen who? Jalen Hurts. Oklahoma. Not Alabama. Final season. He played there as a senior. And he lit it up. 6'2", 218 pounds. He's 21. He'll turn 22 before the start of the 2020 NFL season. And 14 games for the Sooners. 237 completions, 340 attempts, 69% through the air, 3,851 yards, 32 touchdowns to just 8 picks, 191.2 QBR. You remember he transferred from Alabama, where he led them to a national title as a junior until halfway through that game. And Tua came in and said, I'll take the keys to this dynasty.
And he did. He definitely did.
But really what stands out is the rushing numbers this season for Hurts. 233 attempts on the ground, 1,298 yards, 20 touchdowns. Oh, my God. I mean, it was just a force in that offense and really lit the fire under Oklahoma that who knows what we're going to get. We're getting Jalen Hurts. He's a transfer. Oh, we hope he's as good as he was at Alabama for those slivers of time where he went, oh, my God, yeah, he's good. And he was all that and then some, a Heisman finalist. And we all love him on the podcast. We think he's going to be compared to Dak Prescott after he finishes up at the Combine. We'll see what his metrics show. But I'll flip it to you guys. Jalen Hurts is going to start rising up some boards.
Yeah. So many people want to compare him to Lamar Jackson. I think that's where people are going wrong, is they think, okay, can't couldn't throw very well in college, but really good runner. But they're so much different. Lamar is speed, juke, spin move, make you miss, do all that. Jalen Hurts is a power runner. He's a power runner. And so when trying to come up with a comp, I wanted you guys to guess here. So we were talking about it before. So Bryce, you threw a couple out. Kev, I don't know if you have an idea, but
Dak.
I think Dak is
and then Bryce, you said Tebow.
Tebow, yeah.
And so the one that popped into my head, and then I started doing digging, and it was just incredible to me, is Cam Newton. So I mean, it's just it's everything too. It's unbelievable. So here we go. I'm gonna start here. You, Kevin, kind of went over the stats, but I'm gonna brush over them again just to compare them to Cam's, and it's actually unbelievable. So, Cam Newton transferred to Auburn for his final season. Jalen Hurts transferred to Oklahoma for his final season. I'm gonna talk about both of their final season stats, not their career stats, because Jalen Hurts really wasn't used correctly at Alabama. Cam Newton didn't even really play at Florida. So anyways, Jalen Hurts, senior year at Oklahoma, 69.7% completion percentage. Cam Newton, 66. So 69 to 66.
Nice.
Cam Newton, 30 touchdowns through the air. Jalen Hurts, 32 touchdowns through the air. Jalen Hurts, 8 interceptions. Cam Newton, 7 interceptions. So 32 and 8 for Hurts, 30 and 7 for Cam Newton. Their yards per completion, Jalen Hurts 16.2, Cam Newton 15.4, only off by 0.8. Now, where it gets really crazy is their rushing. Cam Newton ran more, Jalen Hurts threw more, but kind of bringing it out to the average is that Hurts ran 233 times for 1,298 yards and 20 touchdowns. Cam Newton, 264 attempts, 1,473 yards, 20 touchdowns as well. And then, so we have these almost completely similar completion percentage, both threw 30 touchdowns, 8 picks, 7 picks, both ran for exactly 20 touchdowns. And where I said, okay, I'm going to go absolutely bonkers if this is accurate, as if their yards per carry is pretty similar. Like, this is the comp, and I love it. To the fucking decimal point. To the decimal point. 5.57 yards per carry for Jalen Hurts. 5.57. I'm not making this up. I punched it in my calculator, and I said, holy shit. Like, there's no way. And it was coming out of my mind. I was thinking, like, dude, if these are close, like, I'm going to go insane. And they were identical, 5.57. Kind of the interesting thing here is that Cam Newton won the Heisman in 2010 during the season. Mm-hmm. And obviously Joe Burrow deserved the trophy. But if there was no Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts won the Heisman, how would that affect his draft stock? Where would we see him go? It's just kind of crazy to think about. But
you know,
that's my Jalen Hurts comp. I love him. Cam Newton, who fucking knows? Like, the similarities there are mind blowing to me.
I'm just gonna say this. I don't think the Heisman, and I know this is gonna kind of sound weird, but I'll explain. I don't think the Heisman would have helped Jalen Hurts if Joe Burrow hadn't been playing this year. I don't know what it is, but it seems like hold on. People have something against Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Like, all year long. Ever since he got benched, even before he got benched, he was getting an incredible amount of shit. Like, it was his fault that they weren't even more elite than they were already. This guy has taken two top of the line teams in the country very far
to the playoff.
Yes, and I'm done with the slander. The guy's 21. Okay, the one knock that everyone was saying that he had was that he wasn't an accurate passer. He improved that, but something like 8 to 9% from Alabama to Oklahoma. Now, being on Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, blah blah blah. Sure, you know, the guy named
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, definitely, who's going to be the best receiver in this class. It's just it's just mind blowing that all of these arguments against Hurts are, to me, just kind of false, because if you look at his stats and Chase, you're comping to Cam Newton. If he ends up becoming a Cam Newton type of player, that means he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback year in and year out, because Cam Newton was always right there because of the rushing ability. And 6'2", 218, that's pretty good size. Like, he's a truck. It's going to be more Tim Tebow-ish type of running, but if he can sit between the 65% to 69% completion percentage in the NFL, which is going to be tough, he's going to be a really solid quarterback. I think this guy is definitely a first-round talent. Now, I don't know how NFL GMs are looking at Jalen Hurts right now, but there are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks right now. We've gone down the list, and Jalen Hurts fits the style that the NFL is kind of transitioning to with the dual-threat quarterbacks. It just comes down to, fourth time I've said tonight,
Where's the landing spot?
Yep, where's the landing spot? Right.
Jacob Eason, back to the Pac-12. After a couple years at Georgia where he wasn't getting any playing time because of the guy that we talked about earlier, Jake Fromm was playing. 6'6", 227 pounds. He's 22 years old. Was at UW this last year where he threw 405 passes. He completed 260 of them. 3,132 yards. 23 touchdowns. 8 interceptions. He completed 64.2% of his passes. Actually, did play as a freshman. 13 games, 204 completions, 2,430 yards, 16 touchdowns to 8 picks before they gave the keys to Jake Fromm back in 2016. He had to sit out 2018 as he was in the transfer portal, one of those weird ones where he actually has to sit out where everybody else gets a fucking free pass, but whatever. I watched a lot of Jake Eason. Family went to UW. I'm from the Seattle area, so I watched the Huskies. I'm in enemy territory down here, but it was kind of weird. We went from Jake Browning to Jacob Eason, and the stock was so high for Washington football with him coming in that it was like, oh my God, we're getting an NFL talent quarterback. He's going to blow everybody away. And he really didn't. He was hot or cold. His numbers don't show that 64% completion percentage. The guys he was working with,
the team was bad.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of talent, though. Like, Hunter Bryant is going to be one of the top tight ends taken and is easily comp to Evan Ingram. Maybe Evan Ingram plus, because he doesn't have the injuries and shit. But I don't know. It's just a weird season for the Huskies. They led in a ton of games, found ways to fuck it up all year long. Like, I think they had the second longest average time of the lead, other than Oregon. And Oregon won the Pac-12 and went on to the Rose Bowl and all that. Like, UW just found ways to lose, and I don't necessarily pin that on Jacob Eason, but I just remember hearing the collective voice from Husky fans being like, I hope Eason goes to the draft, so they could get Jake Sermon, who's the successor to him next season. But Jacob Eason's got the biggest arm in the draft, I'll say it. Accuracy may be a little bit of an issue, gets a little bit of the yips here and there. He can move pretty well. I don't think that's as big of an issue as people think. And our comp that we have on here is like a young Phillip Rivers gunslinger type of guy, which I could see, but he can move better than him. I mean, most guys can move better than Phillip.
Oh, Phillip.
R.I.P. Phillip in San Diego, L.A. But again, Jacob Eason, a lot of guys, I was listening to a podcast today and they were going, oh yeah, he's my third best quarterback. I like him. Not this podcast. I don't think we have him in the first round, but if he goes to the combine and just rocks everybody away with that arm, it's going to be hard to keep him out of the first round, I think.
It's going to be tough to, I mean, there's a lot of big arms.
Right. And it's a weird draft with that, right?
Weird.
Like,
yeah.
Every quarterback we've talked about besides Fromm.
Big arm, accuracy,
mobility
issues, yips, you know,
yeah,
judgmental
yeah, yeah.
stuff, like a lot of mental stuff. That does worry me a lot about most of these quarterback options outside of the top two.
I'll say one more thing about Eason. I think he put too much pressure on himself this season. I think he thought everything was on his shoulders. Maybe tried to extend a little too much, hold on to the ball too long, take unnecessary sacks, set yourself up with third and long. And I think that just comes with, we're supposed to win the Rose Bowl, we're supposed to be a playoff team, I'm supposed to do it all. You're going to be expected that same type of pressure, if not more, in the National Football League, leading a franchise and getting that quarterback money. So if the major issue with him is confidence and ability to lead a team and things like that, that's where I'm worried.
Maybe he sits behind, like, let's just say hypothetically, Matt Stafford in Detroit.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like a similar, I'm just thinking big arm, but that's kind of what I'm thinking with the amount of picks Detroit has in the second round. I'm just, they got an early second, so I'm just looking at that.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if a team traded up for him, but given all the negative things I've said about him, Jacob Eason probably going to slide to the second round. So we'll see so many quarterbacks in this draft. We got one more on the list. It's Anthony Gordon, Washington State. 6'3", 210 pounds. 2-year player, 1-year starter, playing in a couple of games his junior season. His senior year, he lit it the fuck up. 493 completions on 689 attempts. That's 71%. 5,500 passing yards. Oh, my God. 48 touchdowns to 16 picks, a QBR of 157.9.
Wait.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Record-breaking quarterback, Anthony Gordon.
Why is this being swept under the rug?
Because it's a Washington State air raid offense, and everybody's like, oh, whatever. No. Anthony Gordon is good at football. I'm sorry. He is. Anthony Gordon, I hate the Cougs. I fucking hate the Cougs. I hate Anthony Gordon. He's good. Leading up to the Apple Cup, there were articles coming out comparing him to who? Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he's Patrick Mahomes reincarnated. He's in this high-passing offense. He gets to show off the arm. He can, like, kind of move, I think. Like, he can squabble around the pocket. Like, his rushing numbers are horrible because every sack you take negates anything you've ever done in your life because college football's rules are fucked. But like, he's not just sticking the mud in the pocket back there either. So, Chase, you got a comp with him and Minshew, though.
Yeah, I was just kind of comparing their stats from both their last years at Washington State. Anthony Gordon's completion percentage was better, threw for more yards, and more touchdowns. So, you know, Minshew went in the sixth round to Jacksonville last year, and there's definitely just this negative stereotype, I think, in the NFL and from fans and the fantasy community, is that, you know, Washington State quarterbacks under Mike Leach system, who's not there anymore, but under Mike Leach system, their numbers are only good because of the volume and not because they're good quarterbacks. And I think that Gardner Minshew breaking out this year, if you want to call it a breakout, because I think he was really good, especially for being a six-round pick. I think that breakout was really going to help Anthony Gordon and his draft capital this year, because Minshew proved like he's a good NFL quarterback, and he's only going to get better as well. So getting rid of that negative stereotype is huge. And I strongly believe that we wouldn't even be talking at this stage in the draft process. We wouldn't even be talking about Anthony Gordon today if there was no Minshew magic last year.
I am going to just say this real quick. The thing that you had mentioned was that Gardner Minshew was going to help out his draft stock. And I think that's very true. But the hindsight of this is, if he ends up not being good at all, people are going to blame Gardner Minshew for him getting overhyped. And the question I have is he really that similar to Gardner Minshew? Size, skill sets, do we know that?
No, I don't. The one thing that stands out about Minshew is just the what the fuck ability, where he's in the pocket and like some dude lands on him and he pops out and he's like, his helmet's on backwards all of a sudden, and he throws it off his back foot, and DJ Chark catches it in the end zone. Everybody's like, what just happened? You know? So I don't think Anthony Gordon is that, but when you stick a guy in that offense and he produces like that, and everything's a dump off or a check down and next level reads. And
you said something like a 70% completion percentage, which if you're throwing that much,
I mean, they don't run the ball. Like, let's be fair. A run play for them is a dump off.
But
Alex Borgie is like their Christian McCaffrey.
What I want to know is how far is he throwing the ball per attempt?
That's why he's last on the list.
Yeah.
He's not in a pro style offense. He's not in this spread offense that so many NFL teams are using now. And when you're down in games, you're in that. It's an air raid. Like, it is every play there's a guy in motion. Every play there's a running back leaking. Every play there's that. On top of that, Washington State's offensive line is really good. and has been for the last couple of years. They've lost some guys, but even this season they were pretty damn good. So
okay.
I just wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Gordon lit it up in the preseason on a random-ass team and some veteran quarterback's job is all of a sudden on the line.
We're going to be in Vegas and Kevin's going to go buy an Anthony Gordon
oh, gross. Jersey. An Anthony Gordon Seahawks jersey, and he beats Russell Wilson.
I was going to say real quick, I looked up his yards per attempt is 8 point something, so right in the middle of the road. So
Yeah,
just wanted to add that.
No problem.
Kind of wrap it up with this before we get closing thoughts. Teams that are looking at getting a quarterback, and this free agency is going to determine a ton coming up, obviously, with all the veteran guys on the market and guys exiting their rookie contracts like Mariota and Jameis as well. But Cincinnati, Miami, LA Chargers, Carolina, Jacksonville, Oakland, Indy, Tampa Bay, Denver, Atlanta, Dallas, if they can't get something done with Dak, Pittsburgh at 18, and Tennessee maybe? Like, I can't remember a year where there were this many quarterbacks in the draft that are first-round quality, and so many teams that have a first-round pick could potentially get one.
And not only that, you have like four quarterbacks that are literally on the verge of not playing anymore. The new wave is
here.
It's rolling in, and this is the beginning of it. I look at some of these teams, and I think the most interesting team going into the draft and offseason and free agency are the Indianapolis Colts. They have a ton of money.
Got all that money.
They got a ton of picks.
Got all the picks.
And I'm just curious at what direction they go at quarterback. It looks like, sounds like they're going to go pay Marlon Mack.
Because they can.
And I was surprised that that was going to be the situation they'd be going towards, just because Marlon Mack, to me, is replaceable. And it could be, you know, they could get a cheaper top RB in this draft with the picks that they have. But I don't think they want to take one at pick 13, which makes me think, do they try to trade up, or do they wait in the second round where they have the second pick of the second round and snag one of these, you know, on the turn guys?
Is Jordan Love like destined to back up Jacoby Brissett? Is that just
maybe it's like, a Fromm situation?
Can we write that on a wall somewhere and date it and be like,
I think it's a good Fromm spot, because if he's a solid leader, he's gonna be playing behind that line. If he's a smart quarterback like everybody says he is, I mean, they just might dink and dunk this way through the division and try to, you know, mess around with that, or they just go out and get a veteran quarterback. But I don't think they're going to do that with Brissett on the final deal. I think they're just going to have somebody sit behind Brissett and wait for his turn, which happens all the time. It's like, I feel like that's the best scenario. They're going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, they have to.
So, I mean, we could dive into this, but we have free agency down the road. We'll get there. We're going to dive into that later. But
can't wait.
I know. We almost replaced it tonight with the rookie show. So, you know, but everybody's got that rookie fever.
Quick thing. If you're interested in free agency, go check out Bill Barnwell's. I think it's Bill Barnwell.
Yeah.
On ESPN. They did this really cool infographic where you can click on like Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers or whoever, and then they give you three options of what team they could end up with and the chain reaction effect that could have on the league with other contracts and other teams and stuff. Just really cool. Never like to boost anybody else, but it's the mothership. So we'll shout out to ESPN and the work that they did on it. It was sick.
I like respecting good content.
Yeah. And ESPN doesn't do that much. So no. It was sick.
You're welcome, ESPN. We'll take that check.
Yeah. Chase, you got anything else?
No, I was going to say, respect good content. Follow us on all of our social media channels. And once again, thanks for listening. And like I said last time, if you guys have any questions about anything, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know. We're here to help you.
Yep. And now the podcast is on Spotify. It's on Pocket Casts. It's on Google. It's going to come to iTunes. It's going everywhere.
Fuck you, iTunes.
You're going to be able to listen to it. You can't avoid it. It's here and it's happening. All right, guys, that's going to be it for the second episode of the 2020 season/off season. Really appreciate all of the people that have been listening. We had a great start on the first episode. We love you all. Please come back for our running back rookie talk next week. That's going to be probably one of the more exciting ones to talk about. I'm more into that than I am the quarterbacks. There's just so many guys. So many guys are going to be at my picks. I'm just amped. I'm a degenerate, okay? I'm I'm shaking in my boots. I'm just ready to draft.
Football.
God damn it. It's the worst time of the year. All right. Have a great night. We'll talk tutties with you next week.